This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you. So the controls for the slides, are, should I just ask for advance?
Eric, okay. Hi, this is Yvette. It's up to you. I can promote you to a presenter or I can move them for you, whichever you're comfortable with.
If you don't mind promoting me, that's probably easiest.
You have been promoted.
Sweet. Thank you very much. All right. Hey, everyone. So I think we have a reasonably good agenda today, and we've got a sort of a short main deck and then a bunch of backup slides, and I'm sort of hoping that some of the things that are in there prompt people to sort of express opinions. So I might start polling people, or I might try and sort of say things that I hope are a little provocative, mostly just to sort of get our juices flowing. So I hope people won't be shy, and and I'll be watching the hand raising too, but I think we don't have to stand on ceremony more than people want to. So so any updated SOIs before we get started? Okay. All right, cool. Well, so the sort of the agenda is on the slide right now. I presume everyone can see it. So we'll start off with discussing the terms of reference, and I think at some point, either within that or following, we'll probably want to start discussing our scope, I think, more explicitly at this point. My two cents is that I think it's going to be very helpful going forward, structuring, everything from our outreach to even our retrospective of SSR1 as we start to really key into the things that make up the scope that we all sort of agree on. And I think probably somewhere between the TOR and the scope is the work plan, or maybe vice versa. So it's sort of bullet number two and number three, in my opinion, will probably be kind of like just a continuum. We'll probably have, I hope, a sort of a free-ranging discussion about those general things, which I think fall into kind of a spectrum. The sort of the fourth one, if time permits, identify SSR issues that members think are important. I hope that a lot of that perspective informs the earlier discussion. So I'm definitely thinking that it's definitely time for people to sort of express what they think the SSR T2 ought to be focusing on from a personal perspective, and then we can digest that into something that the team thinks as a whole. So before I roll forward, anyone have any thoughts or questions or want to do any agenda bashing or anything like that? Okay. Cool. Okay, so at this point, I hope people have had a chance to sort of look over not only just the terms of reference draft that came out from staff, and thank you for taking the lead on that, but also some of the commentary that went back and forth. There was some, I think, good commentary made on the terms of reference straw man. And I wonder, has everyone had a chance to look at that, or more specifically, has anybody still sort of got it in their pipe, and they, like, if we were to sort of put a stamp on it, which I don't think we're necessarily proposing to do, does anybody feel like they sort of need more time to iterate on that? No? Okay. So that means that the staff did a really awesome job and they just nailed it right on the head. So with the module, a couple comments from a few folks, which I think were very helpful. So I think we probably want to sort of start thinking about when we're going to call that one, done. And, I don't think we have to discuss that. We don't have to come to a conclusion on that right now. But I do think it would be useful to sort of get there at some point. So I see James got his hand up. So go ahead, please.
Thanks, Eric. Just with regards to putting a stamp on it, I think we've given some comments, but there may be some more discussion on particularly the scope question that we need to do before we finalize it, because there are some disagreements already, I think, between some of us on how that scope should be reflected in the terms of, I think we probably need to have that high-level scope discussion before we finalize it.
Do you think, before I roll over to Denise, do you think that's something that we should start the discussion on now, while we're all on the call, or do you think it needs to sort of percolate on the list a little longer? Do you have any sense of that?
For me, I'm happy to discuss it. It was myself and Denise are the ones that have put it down on paper. So, you know, if we want to have a discussion about that today, I'm happy to do that.
Hey, Denise, what are your thoughts? It's your hands up.
Hi. Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah. And I apologize. My I got disconnected previously. So we're discussing the terms of reference, the draft terms of reference. Is that correct?
Yeah. I'm proposing that we, I think, making sure that everyone sort of hears the perspectives. I think I was asking, I'm sort of soliciting whether we want to have that discussion on the call. Or at least broach it here, and then depending on how far we get, we may or may not decide that it's good fodder for face-to-face. You know, the agenda is kind of, in my opinion, the agenda is going to, today's agenda, the big ticket item I think we ought to sort of get to a scope, and I think this is sort of like right along those lines. So I'm happy to defer to the group, but I think getting some of it, you know, in discussion format is going to be useful. So, yeah, I would say start it here first.
Right. Yes, thank you. I would agree. The terms of reference include the scope. I think that's the most important aspect of it. I think my personal expectation was that we could use the email list to add red lines and comments to the initial draft and discuss it on this call and wrap it up as soon as people feel comfortable with the document. I think this is a sort of foundational document that initially will help guide the team's work, and, of course, it's also a deliverable to the board. So I think it's something we need to get done as soon as possible. Having said that, I don't think we should consider it cast in concrete. As we evolve as a group and learn more about these various topics, I think we also should be open, if needed, to coming back and refining our both our terms of reference and our work plan. So I would like to see an initial discussion on this call and further work on the email list. Thank you.
That's great, Denise. Thank you. Kaveh, I see your hands up.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, first of all, I agree with Denise that this shouldn't be cast in stone, but it will be the standard guideline for us to talk about. We communicate that, but if we need to change that, we should be able to change that. And maybe it's good enough to mention that in the document, but this will be a living document. But in general, that's our current thing. That's first. And second, I suggest, because as it was pointed out, there were some field trends and agreements come up with, which we can involve with the email, but it's best to do that over email also. So I think it's best if the staff take the current document, apply the comments which there were no opposition to, which most of the comments are, and then the few items which need more discussion, they can take them out from index. We will have a clean document, and then we can continue discussing those two or three points which were important for the index, and then integrate back into the back. If Olivia agrees with that, I suggest we can.
Kaveh, I'm sorry, the audio is a little bit I don't know, mired. Could you sort of repeat the last couple comments you made? I'm sorry.
Okay. So my last comment was I suggest that we ask staff to apply the comments, which there were no disputes about, because most of the comments in the current term of reference and the scope document are just comments which I see no disputes. So if they apply them, and then there are three or four things which there were different opinions. So I think it's good if staff clean up the document, apply all the ones without disputes, and then take out the ones with disputes in an email so we can argue them over an email thread. This way we will have a clean document which others can still keep looking to and figure out if there are other issues. we will discuss those three or four points of disagreement separately, and when we are done, we will incorporate them back to the original document. Does this sound like an idea?
So I can see that James is in agreement with that. Do other people have sort of opinions one way or the other? Denise, go ahead.
Thank you. I think it would be helpful for staff to continue as we discuss it on the list to clean up the document reflect where there aren't disagreements. However, the scope of work part of this document really warrants some thoughtful review and discussion, and I think really needs to be just completely written. There's a sort of haphazard list of random questions almost that doesn't really add up to a clear scope that flows from our mandate. And then in addition to that, I think it would be useful to have a discussion around attacks, misuse of internet identifiers, DNS abuse, and I think questions raised about within or without scope. I think those are kind of the two main things that I would suggest. Thanks.
Yeah, Denise, I think that's right on. I think that before we get to James, who has his hand up, James, I see it. I think one of the things that I was sort of hoping to sort of really tease out in the meeting today, and I think you've hit the nail on the head already before I got to it, was that, the scope is something that I think we really need to call out very explicitly, and I don't know if it needs to be its own document or the section in the terms of reference document essentially just needs to be very blown out. But I think rather than, I think it's easy enough for the group, I think the team, to try and do the starting point as opposed to iterating on another starting point, since we have kind of like a clean slate almost at this point. So, yeah, I agree. I think getting that started, hopefully with some discussion today that we can capture, and then I don't know if people have a sense or a preference whether that exists or that sort of persists in the terms of reference or because it becomes its own document. I'm not sure if there's a sort of a preferred way to represent that already or if we want to sort of take the initiative on that. But I'm hopeful that we can make some beginning stabs at that today and then take it to the list, I hope. But James, yeah, sorry, go ahead. I just jumped in front of you.
No, thank you. So three quick points. First of all, I agree with everything Denise is saying. Yep, that's definitely the way we should take it. Number two, I would really hope that the rest of the review team will weigh in on this review of the terms of reference. This is like the foundation of everything we're going to do for the next year or so. And at the moment, it's myself, Denise, and Kaveh have weighed in. And I don't want this to be, something that ends up being bashed out between the disagreements on scope to be bashed out between myself and Denise. I'd like to hear everybody else's opinion on these. I'd like to see other people weighing in on the actual content of the straw man as well, if possible. And thirdly, the disagreement that myself and Denise have had in the scope piece is the DNS abuse piece. And while we can have a quick discussion about it here, I think it is something we'll need to take to the list to flesh out and come to an agreement or a consensus on, as it's probably a contentious topic for all of us. So I'm sure we all have our individual opinions on whether it's in or out of scope, and we will eventually have to come to some agreement on it. So I'd like for us to maybe kick off a conversation on that now, but it will be something we'll take to the list before we finalize, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion. I definitely agree that this should be worked out on the list, and so that there's an enduring record, if nothing else, of the way in which we arrived at whatever endpoint we come to. But I think having it, like you're sort of saying, I think having a kickoff discussion now might be helpful. I'm hopeful that people that are sort of listening are getting a high bandwidth view of what they may have missed as far as a sort of a disconnect or disagreement. So, I hate to put you and Denise on the spot, but would either or both of you be willing to sort of just kind of throw out your perspective on that on the call now so that people can sort of feel potentially more likely to engage? Is that too much on the spot for you guys? Totally okay if this is like dirty pool, and I'll pull back, but it just seems like it might be opportune.
Sure. I mean, I think that's what our weekly calls are for. James, would you like to go first, or do you want me to? If you don't mind, it might be useful to hear your sort of thought process and, I guess, some questions about the scope that would allow me to, I think, respond more specifically.
I see James in the chat room is asking you. Oh, but now he's agreed. Okay. All right, James, you have the floor.
Yep. I'm happy to go first. So from my perspective, DNS abuse is in scope, but not to the level that it has been defined in the terms of reference. So there's two things that guide me towards that position. Number one, DNS abuse is an undefined and very widely used term, and we have to bear in mind the new ICANN bylaws tell us that the content of websites is no longer a part of ICANN's mission. It never was, but it is very clear now that anything that is being referred to as abuse through the use of content or anything that is beyond the use of the domain name is not in scope for us. It is no longer in scope for ICANN in general. Second of all, we need to be careful that we don't stray into the work of the other review teams or current GNSO PDPs. I don't want us to be the group that goes back and re-examines who is accuracy when we're going to have a who is review team. That's not in our scope as the SSOR review team. I don't want us to go back and revisit everything that the CCT review has done, and they have an excellent entire report that they've generated on. It was a key part of their work. So there's two components, ICANN's mission and where we define DNS abuse as it is relevant to SSOR, and SSOR impacts that are not already being examined by other review teams. That very narrow piece of DNS abuse I can see being within scope for us. Any of the other pieces are not for us, in my opinion, are not for us to look at. You know, we are examining ICANN's impact, and you know, ICANN, the organization, its impact on the SSOR of the unique identifier system. We need to be careful to stay within that mandate.
Okay. Denise? Okay. Oh, Akave, I see you have your hand up. Do you want to go now, or do you want to wait until Denise has a chance to deserve a prize?
I just wanted to agree with what James said, and actually what Denise proposed as a text, I like most of it. So basically where she proposed have ICANN effectively fulfill its limited role in threat mitigation and strengthening those systems, I think something like that can work, because if we refer strictly to ICANN's mission and the role that ICANN can play effectively within its scope and mission, then yeah, why not? We should look into reviewing that. But it's very important to scope that very clear from the beginning, because that can easily derail our work and take us somewhere. I mean, we can spend a lot of resources in looking into things which ICANN cannot directly take action on. So as long as it's clearly mentioned within limited scope of ICANN and what ICANN can control, I fully support having that. My comments are, because I was also suggesting removing it, but thinking about the biggest scope of this thing. If I'm okay with putting a limited scope here.
Okay, thanks, Carla. Denise, do you want to
Sure. So I think both of those comments are quite useful. I think I would agree that that we need clarification that when we talk about abuse and threat mitigation, we're not talking about website contents, and we are talking about activities and issues that are well within ICANN's scope. So I had proposed some substitute replacement language. I'll just read it in case people haven't seen my comment on page, what page I'm on, page 10 of the draft. So I'm proposing then instead we write something along the lines of, and I'll probably continue to wordsmith this, attacks and misuse of identifier systems, including the DNS, would be an addition to this bulleted list. And we can explore questions like, has ICANN effectively fulfilled its limited role in threat mitigation and strengthening those systems capabilities? So the in terms of the scope issue, the first SSR review that we are obligated to assess addresses DNS abuse and threat mitigation by virtue of that in our assessment of whether it was appropriately implemented and the impact of that implementation makes it within our scope. Threat and misuse of internet identifiers is part of ICANN's strategic plan. It's part of the objectives and SSR framework of the SSR staff. ICANN is conducting research on it. It's charged with ensuring compliance with contractual obligations relating to this. There's a whole host of ways that this is part of ICANN's responsibility. And again, I think it's important to clarify that we're not talking about content here, but we are talking about pretty fundamental responsibilities of ICANN. And I'd be happy to work with James and Kaveh to continue to clarify and add more details so that's clear.
Okay. Thanks, Denise. I see James and Kaveh have their hands up, and I can't remember if Kaveh's hand went down and back up or Kaveh if that's from before, but I saw your name first, Kaveh, so did you have it up from before, or you have something new?
So thank you, Denise, and I think on this point we can clearly agree. But one thing which based on what you said, I think maybe we need to clarify between ICANN organization and ICANN, because some of the stuff that you mentioned, I think, yes, they fall clearly within ICANN's remit, as ICANN is a big thing, which includes all the constituencies and all of that. But maybe the question we need to focus is, are we reviewing ICANN organization or ICANN as a whole, the whole structure? Because my point is, especially for these cases, we really have to focus on ICANN organization, not ICANN as the whole body, which includes all the constituencies. So, and if we limit the scope to that, for this specific one or for any other thing, I really have no issues, but if you're going to include all the constituencies, that's a very different story. And the examples you use, although the text you suggest doesn't, it is good, I think, but the examples you mentioned, some of them, I think, actually go to the constituency and not the ICANN organization.
Okay. James?
Yep, thank you. So Kaveh's basically said 90% of what I was going to say. Denise, your suggestion in the document, I apologize, I haven't looked at it properly. I think that's something we can definitely use as a base to work from. It's better than what is in the terms of reference at the moment. One of the triggers for me, I suppose, was the statement in the terms of reference that we will study NES abuse life cycle. So that is a life cycle that includes many things that are outside of ICANN's remit, and that was what pushed me to ask that we look at taking that out. Certainly, you know, misuse of the unique identifier systems that is within ICANN's remit. We can look at misuse of those, and we can do a mapping between the threat mitigations that are required and what is reflected in ICANN's positioning and ICANN's threat surface itself. Definitely within that context, and you know, looking at it from that position, I could agree with it. Yeah.
Okay.
Great. And just to clarify, I was speaking about ICANN, the organization's responsibilities. So if we, it sounds like this is a good point to take off the call and trade more details about. So if the three of us agree that we can come up with some better and agreeable language to bring back to the group, I'd be happy to work on that.
Okay, yeah. So before we jump straight to that, let me just sort of poll the team, you know, and we've had sort of like a pretty solid iteration between the three of you. You know, I have a couple thoughts as well, but I want to give a chance to anyone else on the call that has some perspectives of their own on this. Okay, so we have a time check. We're halfway through. I don't hear anyone else jumping in. I guess I'd sort of want to throw in a little bit of the discussion. Just I don't want to interrupt the three of you, but you know, there when we're sort of talking about the scoping, I think there's an important perspective that while our recommendations and our findings may need to be very carefully scoped to be within both ICANN's remit and also, as you're saying, not necessarily intruding on the turf of other review teams, in order to develop the perspective that we need to do impactful work, we may necessarily have to start off considering things a little more broadly. You know, we may need to, for example, I think this is where the DNS discussion potentially really goes sideways. But I think, you know, if you consider DNS abuse and you consider the sort of things that normally you don't think are part of DNS. Sorry, Mr. Matagoro, we're getting a lot of noise from your line. Could you mute yourself, please? All right. Thank you. You know, I mean, if you think about things like, you know, like name collisions don't seem like they're really a DNS issue. And they aren't necessarily so much as they're exacerbated by or come from issues in DNS. So I think when we're starting to consider the scope, we should be careful not to be overly constrained in the things that motivate our concerns. We should just constrain what our recommendations and concerns are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Eric. I'm having a really hard time hearing you. Could you repeat?
Yeah, Mr. Matagoro, can you
main point?
Mr. Matagoro, can you please mute yourself, please? Or staff, can maybe we mute his line? Oh, great. Okay, I'm sorry, Denise. So did anybody hear anything that I said? I think probably
just,
not, right?
Just bits and pieces. We could have a summary.
Okay, we're still getting some noise from Matagoro's line, so we may have to do something about that if it keeps coming back. But I guess I see Carrie-Anne has her hand up. Let me just sort of reprise my comments real quick let me reiterate them real quick. I was just saying that when we're considering the scope, I think it's important to start off observing broadly. You know, like the DNS abuse comments, I think, are fair in the sense that not everything that is DNS abuse or is in the life cycle really is within ICANN's purview or remit. Matago, can you please mute your line? We're not going to be able to have much of a conversation. Okay. Anyway, so I'll try and be quick. I'd like us to not like be overly constrained in the things that we consider motivations for what we ultimately focus on. So, sort of high level comment. I think we could take most of that to the list. But I'll yield to Carrie-Anne on this your comment. Or sorry, your hand is up, Carrie-Anne. Sorry. Mr. Matagoro, I think if you hit *6, it might mute your line for you. Okay. Nope. Do we have is staff able to mute Matagoro?
Hi, all. This is Yvette. I'm working on that right now. It seems that when we mute it, somehow it unmuted itself, so I'm working on getting it to stay permanently muted. My apologies for the interruption. And if I can't do that, I'm going to have to disconnect and try to call him back.
Okay.
So my apologies for this. I'm working on it.
No problem, sorry. No problem. Yeah, Matagoro, do you want to try calling back in? Maybe, like, you know, just hang up and call back? Matagoro, how about you try reconnecting to the call, like,
can you hear me now?
Yes.
You can hear me, right?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I wanted to continue on the lines that you just discussed about in terms of how we limit our scope. While this is not like a legal interpretation of what the bylaws now say and what we are required to do, I would just want us to still look carefully at what the bylaws say, because it's not, to me, it's abundantly clear, for example, where it outlines in the bylaws in terms of coordinating and allocating the DNS. It also speaks about the commitment of the board in 4.6C in terms of having reviewing the security operational stability. I constantly emphasize that we are the first committee or team really looking at this after the bylaws have been passed, and I think it's meaningful if we actually give some amount of reflection and perspective on the interpretation of the language as it's written now. One of the things that stood out to me more than anything else is that it says that the mission of ICANN is to ensure the secure, stable operation, which is in plain language, coordinates the allocation assignment of names and domain name, and coordinates the development of policies concerning the registration in plain language. It also goes out by saying in bylaw 4.6, the board shall cause a periodic review. That the board actually staging or actually initiating this review of ICANN's execution, and ICANN broadly meaning all the different bodies that fall under ICANN, executing its commitment to enhance the operational stability, security, reliability, resilience, security, and global interoperability. So I know that we've had a discussion about whether or not the review team is looking at ICANN board as opposed to ICANN and its entire body, but I'd like to propose another reflection. And I'm seeing what James read in terms of acting outside its missions and cannot regulate, but I think we need to just consider that the board has the power based on 4.6C to actually initiate such a review. And if the SSR review team has just not proposed broad, just looking at the plain language, not doing any insertion of my opinion on it, but in plain language, it is assumed that the SSR can actually review, as the plain language says, security operations. It means coordinating, discussing with all the other bodies, including PTI, because if you look on PTI's mission statement, it says now that PTI is responsible for the operational aspects of coordinating the Internet's unique identifier. We do not aim to set policy, but implement agreed policies and principles in a mutually responsible manner using the policies set forth and provided by ICANN as a whole, not just ICANN board. So just want to propose that we not approach this as other review teams have in terms of recognizing that our role is probably to actually reflect. I think we have the skills on the review team to reflect on the entire language and then put forth not an interpretation, but just a context within which we're actually doing our work. So as I said, it's just a reflection from me, but just for everybody to kind of rethink, just look at the plain language. I think the language is pretty plain, and it may not be as strict or as read Jeff's concern that he had in the chat concerning not wanting to go outside of the scope, but that's what I said. I just wanted us to reflect again that based on the fact that the board can initiate this review, we have been initiated, although prior to the bylaws, to now look at the bylaws in the context that we're now initiated, and it sets forth what we may assess. So, as I said, the language is plain to me in 4.6c, so I just wanted us to reflect on that again as we do the other suggestions everybody has said, continue the discussion in the email.
Great. Thank you. That's very helpful. Thank you, Karen. James, I see you have your hands up.
Yep, and thanks. I just want to agree with Carrie-Anne. As long as we meet the requirements of Section C, which I pasted in.
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
Okay. but we're all still here, so yay.
Yeah, so as long as we stay within the boundary of what I can and cannot do, which is we cannot look at anything regarding the services that use the unique identifiers or the content that they carry. That's the big thing for me, is that is not necessarily for us to debate, because that is the scope of ICANN, and we are reviewing ICANN. And that's it. It's Section 1 in the new bylaws, and we spent a long time writing that, and we need to respect that is a finalized decision, that anything that we do cannot be looking at the content or the services that use the unique identifiers. Our scope also has to be within the scope of ICANN, the organization.
So, James, yeah, I want to, if you don't mind, I want to push on that just for a second, just to get clarity. So, you know, is that one of those things where, you know, I think it's important for the work that we do to be informed by those things that depend on the identifiers and the items that are within ICANN's purview, even though those dependencies might be outside. So while I understand your point, you know, we certainly don't want to, you know, get dragged into the business of going down rabbit holes and chasing content issues that are well beyond our purview. But if they inform us through looking at them of a critical dependency or an SSR issue that is within ICANN's remit, that we understand because we've been made aware of something. I mean, our recommendations clearly need to be within our scope. But the motivation or the intuition that drives them may come from outside that. A more broad systemic view might be important in understanding real deep SSR issues, right?
Yeah, and if I can come back. Yeah, no, I agree that there are pieces of information that will be outside of ICANN's scope that will inform us because they have an impact on what ICANN does. That I totally agree with. We can't just something because it's outside of ICANN's scope if it has an impact on ICANN. But my concern is I just don't want us to stray into an area where we go out and we look at all of the larger picture of DNS abuse, for example, and we don't slice that into what ICANN's new and unique mission is, and we start working and spending our time, which is very limited, on trying to solve what is a bigger problem than just ICANN. Because we know from the world of ICANN and ICANN policy that there is a long-standing thing that ICANN should be doing more than it is, but only within ICANN's mission. And I don't want us to be rehashing that argument within this review team. ICANN has its mission, and we need to fix the things that ICANN can fix within that mission, for sure. We need to make recommendations that will fit within that mission, that are informed by the overall threat landscape.
I sense that we are actually all in violent agreement on this one. So I think, yeah, thank you very much, James. And Kaveh, I'll get to you real quick, and then maybe it'll be a good segue to the list. So, yeah, Kaveh, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to mention something because the approach you mentioned, I like it. But the way I think about this review is actually other way around, because I see all of this, the ICANN mission and bylaws and the documents we're working with right now as my outer limit. It's the outside limits to what we do. So those are hard limits. But in my thinking, actually, we might, as SSR team, we don't need to even be expanded as that limit, because we have limited time anyways and limited resources. So we can choose to say, okay, ICANN.org is involved in these 10 activities, but we are really interested in this 6. So why don't we focus the SSR scope on these 6? So instead of starting with with bylaws and the mission and all of that, and then try to see if we can get input from outside. I think we should actually, within the team, we have all the expertise. So we should try to define the scope within that hard limit to see, okay, do we want to get to cover all of that, or do we want to focus on special part of it? And then start the review. I think that should be the mindset. At least that's how I'm approaching this whole thing.
So I think those are topics that we definitely need to dig into. I think we probably want to start transitioning this conversation to the list. Kaveh, I don't know if you want to kick off the thread with those thoughts or we should start somewhere else, but if you wanted to, you know, fire something off on email about what you just said, basically is the last word in the conversation from the call, it might be a great place for us to pick up if you're okay with that. Great. Okay, so time check is we have 15 minutes left and we only got through slide 3 just now. So I probably lose my rights as moderator in the future, so sorry about that. But we also had the work plan come out very recently, and so that, I think, in large part sits on my shoulders, so I apologize to folks for that. Did anybody wind up having a chance to glance at the draft work plan that came out not too long ago? There was a sort of an initial posting, I believe, about a week ago, and then some comments just came out, some annotations that I had made, but have people had a chance to look at it at all? Okay. I guess that's a big no. Denise, hands raised.
Yeah, I just skimmed it, but, you know, I think it's, you know, a straw man, something to get us started. I think at least how I'm approaching this is I'd like to get a clear sense of the team's agreement on the scope from our terms of reference, and then it should be fairly easy to translate that into a work plan once we have a clear sense of what our scope is and kind of the big buckets of issues we want to address. And again, with similar to the terms of reference, I think even more so with the work plan, I see it as a living, breathing document. I would recommend that we do a draft that we're comfortable with, issue it as our initial work plan, with a commitment to regularly, you know, revisit it and continue to update it as our work evolves. Thanks.
Yeah, that sounds like definitely fair observations. Before I get to the other hands that are up, just real quick, I just want to throw out to the group that just in case it's sort of not completely clear, the scope is going to be incredibly critical, and it can be, you know, everyone's contribution can start off with just your own perspective on what's important. And I really encourage everyone to sort of follow the line of there are no such thing as, you know, sort of observations that are inappropriate. If you have a perspective, that's why you're on the team. So by all means, please, if you're sort of biting your lip and you have something that you're not sure you should say, please say it. You know, this is going to be really critical. I think this is the most important time for people to be engaged is at the beginning when we're setting our direction. And everyone who's on the team's perspective is critical. It's why you're on the team. So please, if you're feeling like you're not sure you should throw in, please, please do. And just sort of meta comment. So, Carrie-Anne, I see your hand is up.
The only thing I wanted to suggest, I'll provide some hard comments on the work plan. The date settings are fine. Just, I think it should be September, October instead. But we try to assemble the findings because it only means that we have, based on it started in August, it means we only have July and August. May is almost done, even though we're already in April. But I think April and May will go by really fast, especially with the spring meeting that we have in May. I think unless we plan to dedicate time to actually start drafting in May while we're actually seeing each other, I think August may be a little bit too soon to have the things finalized.
Yeah, definitely too soon to be finalized, but I think, yeah, we're just trying to get the conversations going. I was throwing barbs by saying maybe we could put a stamp on it. I was hoping people would stand up for the opinion. So, yeah, I agree. I don't think we need to close it out right now. Is that kind of what you were concerned about? Okay, so James, go ahead.
Thanks. So I just have a question. So the work plan that was sent out to me, now I'm a program manager, so maybe this is just me being a bit picky about it. Like, do we plan to then take this document and turn it into a timeline, or what plan for how we turn that work plan into a timeline with, you know, resources and milestones and reporting times, et cetera?
I think that nothing is remotely cast in stone. I think it'd be really hard to come up with a timeline without having the scope at least under discussion. I mean, without knowing what the scope of our work is, there's really no way I think we could reasonably commit to anything other than when we might have that scoping done, to be honest. That'd be my two cents. I don't know. Does anyone else have any perspective on that? That's mostly just my own personal view on it.
If I can come back in?
Sure.
Yes, and that was kind of a pointer for why I was asking that, is I see us being able to finalize our scope soon enough, but I don't think that the work plan will come together properly, anything that's actually useful for anybody for us to send it to them. You know, we can keep discussing it amongst ourselves and the team, but for something that we communicate externally or to the board with regards to a work plan, I think that will come after we finalize our scoping discussions.
Very fair point. Denise?
Yeah, I would agree with James. I would also, my personal opinion is that we should work very hard to wrap up our work within 1 year, as has been requested of us and has been included in the ICANN plan and budget. So I think we've got some boundaries to work within, to the best of our abilities, and I agree we should tackle the scope and terms of reference, get that first cut done, and then turn our attention to a work plan. And I think it would be useful to get a high-level work plan into the public sphere to make sure that we're, as part of our outreach commitment, we continue to give the interested community members a sense of broadly of what our work plan is, and we can continue to add details and evolve it as needed. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like, again, we're starting to come to a very solid sense of agreement on this. So I think that's good. And we should probably start to, yeah, well, I think this will shape up a lot over email, hopefully, pretty quickly. I see a lot of comments in the chat session that sound like they are headed in that direction. Okay, so then I'll, in our dwindling moments, I'll pass through slide 4. The brainstorming capture document has, I think we're probably not going to have a lot of time right now to go through the brainstorming capture issues, stuff like that. I think we're within 5 minutes of closing out the call. And open action items. So I don't know if it makes a lot of sense to try and get through for this stuff in any kind of detail in the last 5 minutes of the call. I'm actually, Denise, is your hand up again, or is it just is just left over from before?
Left over, sorry.
Okay, cool. I don't think we have enough time to really go through these open action items, to be honest, right now. I'm just sort of scanning through them real quick. And then we've got our next meeting schedule. I think we probably will plan an agenda that either picks up from here, or maybe there'll be some stuff on the email list between here and there that will allow us to sort of pick some other topics, but the rest of the chairs and I will discuss this for sure. So the next meeting will be forward a chunk from here. So for a lot of us, it'll be evening. Some of us will be nighttime. And then the next one will be the rough one, the early morning one. So I think I'm actually, I'm not a huge fan of sort of like, you know, burning the last 5 minutes on something if there's nothing to talk about. So let me open it up. Is there any other business worth discussing on the call, or do we want to reclaim 5 minutes? I see there's a deadline conversation going on in the chat room. If we want, we could discuss it in 5 minutes, or we can have that also flow to the list. Denise?
So I think Kaveh had a suggestion of the co-chairs suggesting a deadline to help focus the team's work on developing and finalizing the initial terms of reference and then the work plan. So I've suggested that we take up his suggestion and the co-chairs talk and then come back to the list with some suggested deadlines to see if we can work as a team via email and through our next conference call to wrap up the terms of reference and then after that the work plan. Thanks.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea, and I think hopefully when we produce a deadline, that will be sort of a good motivator for anybody that needs to sort of. Anybody has any thoughts to sort of express them, and if we wind up having to slip it because we have a flood of new input, then that's a good thing. But yeah, deadlines drive action, so that's definitely I'm in agreement with that. James?
Sorry, another quick topic. Do we have a number from staff on how many people we are going to have in person in Madrid so we can get an idea of what we should start thinking about to put on that topic? And of what's going to be on a slate at that point?
That's a good question. Does anyone from staff that's on the line have any sense of that? Take a note to follow up and ask them.
I can say, this is Karen. Sorry, it took me a while to get off of mute. I think the majority of the review team members have indicated that they will be there in person. I have not seen any that have said that they will not be there. There are a few that may be coming a little late or have to leave a little early.
Okay. Excellent. James, did you have another one or is the hand from before?
No, that's great. And it just means then that we can plan as well to really bash through some of any contentious issues that we come up with in the next few weeks at that face-to-face rather than trying to do them virtually. So if we have the majority of people there in the room with us, I think we can make some really good progress on finalizing some things there while attempting to have some deliverables for those deadlines then that we can then finalize in person in Madrid. So just when you're thinking about putting deadlines on things, let's have some things that we can finalize and actually hopefully get out to the community after our face-to-face in Madrid as a real, well, we met. We cost like and money to meet, but here is what we've done and here is where we're showing to you the community that we've.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Okay, so I see no more hands up. We've done the AOB slide, and we have a minute and a half left in the call. So, I see Denise is typing. I don't want to cut anyone off, but... Okay, well let's call the call then, and the rest of the chairs and I will convene, and we'll be back on the list with the results of things like timeline suggestions and whatnot. But hopefully long before that, we have some active discussions on the list about scope, which I think we've sort of proven is a pretty important point. And I really hope that anybody who feels like they have a perspective on that feels like voicing it. All right, so we will talk to you all in a week. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Cheers. Thank you.
Bye-bye.